Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. It sure is beautiful weather, about 80 degrees, a nice breeze. It's time to heat up so that we can kill off that coronavirus, as has been suggested multiple times. Just beautiful weather. And here in Oklahoma, a lot of things are opening back up, finally starting to return somewhat closer to normal after all this time, about a month and a half of being stuck at home, basically, for the most part. Well, obviously a big part of the news, pretty much the only news, it seems like, in a lot of cases, is this coronavirus crisis worldwide. There's been a lot of panic about the possibility of getting this disease and either getting sick and dying from it or unwittingly passing it on to someone else who might be more vulnerable to it. I have just really thought a lot more lately while all of this has been happening, how there's really only one issue in the entire world that actually unites liberal and conservative thinkers. People on all parts of the political spectrum unite on this one topic. And it is an unwavering trust in modern medicine. This is the perfect situation for enemies of our nations to exploit, because everyone panics about this. Everyone worries about health and who their doctor is going to be and how much they're going to pay and what kind of treatments are available, what kind of injections, drugs can be taken. It seems like that's usually the default. Not living a healthy lifestyle, but trying as hard as we possibly can to treat the effects instead of the causes of these diseases. This is a subject that so many people desperately need the truth about. The late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong wrote a booklet titled The Plain Truth About Healing. Way back in 1979, it seems like today, 41 years later, this booklet, this vital truth, is more relevant than ever. You can order a free copy of this booklet at thetrumpet.com. You actually have to order it. You can't read it online. And here the quip at the beginning of the booklet says, "Is the day of miracles past? Does the living God heal sickness and disease today upon believing prayer? Or was healing performed only by Christ and the original apostles? Did God raise up medical science for our day? What about modern faith healers and public healing services?" A lot of really important questions, not only to ask, but also to answer. Chapter 1 of The Plain Truth About Healing is titled Healing in Our Time. This age, this modern age, certainly is very different from the time during which Jesus Christ walked the earth. His ministry took place nearly 2,000 years ago. And of course, if you read any of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible, you will see and notice all kinds of accounts of miraculous healing. This was actually a pivotal part of Christ's job on earth. As Mr. Armstrong explains, Christ's ministry was a dual ministry and a miraculous ministry. He was a messenger. He came with the good news of the coming kingdom of God. You can see that in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. It wasn't a message about how great he was, or a message about how he was coming to abolish his own father's law, or how the kingdom can be set up in our hearts. He was announcing an actual, tangible, real kingdom soon to be set up on this planet and to rule over the entire universe. That was Christ's job. That was the message he proclaimed. Along with that message came a lot of good, powerful works. Mr. Armstrong wrote, Jesus came also healing the sick by divine power of God. It was not the power of human mind over matter. Few realize the extent to which healing and casting out demons were an integral part of Jesus' ministry. Later, the apostles proclaimed his same message and healed the sick. Here was a man who was a son, the Son of God, the only such man in that type of position, actually begotten in his mother's womb by God himself. This story, of course, quickly spread. Christ received a lot of attention his whole life as his father's son, as a perfect God being walking among us. He preached powerfully, but he also preached in stories that most people couldn't even understand. One thing they all could understand, though, was his miracles. Those miracles included miraculous healings. People would throng to him to hear him speak, and so many of those people believed what he was saying to the point that they had faith. And if they were sick, they had no doubt that Christ would heal them. You see, they actually had faith, which is a requirement for receiving healing. They came up to him. These people approached him. He didn't have to set up some sort of event and send out flyers all over the region to tell people to come there to be healed. They came to him. They sought him for that healing. Here's one example. This is in Luke 8. We'll start in verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So here she was, totally reliant on man's medical practices, spending all of her money, putting her trust in doctors, and getting no results. She had what we would probably consider an issue with blood clotting, where if she bled, the blood was so thin it would never stop coming out. Of course, that can be a life-threatening condition, something that would have to cause someone like that to be extremely cautious in everyday life. Verse 44 of Luke 8, she came behind him and touched the border of Christ's garment. and immediately her issue of blood stanched. See, she approached him. She believed so strongly that she could be healed that all it took was her touching his clothes, and she was healed on the spot. Verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng you and press you, and say, 'You who touched me?'" In other words, Christ, everyone's touching you. You're surrounded by people. They all came to see you. They're all touching you right now. What do you mean? Why are you asking which single person touched you when everyone is touching you? Verse 46, and Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." It wasn't that she had touched his clothes, but it was that she believed that she'd be healed just by touching his clothes. It was that element of faith that made it possible. People all over the region during Christ's day were healed in ways similar to this. Just a powerful witness of God the Father. Christ was doing all of that to bring glory to his Father in heaven. And how could these people expect to hear this truth and see these miracles and not be held accountable for it? That's part of God's truth that a lot of people perhaps will shy away from. Once you know what is right, there is an expectation to do what is right. All these witnesses of these miracles, they had to know something was different about Christ. They had to be convinced that he was able to do things that nobody else could. So then, naturally, we have to ask, what were they expected to do with that information? What's the point of them even receiving a powerful witness like that unless they need to take action? Mr. Armstrong, in this booklet here in chapter 2 titled Learning to Believe, talks about how faith and prayer are accompanying subjects of healing. So it's not just about learning all we can about healing. Faith and prayer come along with that. 1 John 3, verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So this is talking about asking God for healing, crying out in prayer, reminding God that he has promised to heal. But it also talks about obedience. We obey God, and that is why he is willing to answer. Mr. Armstrong gave plenty of examples of this here in this booklet, but even more so in his autobiography, which you can read for free at thetrumpet.com, and you can also request your free copy there too. But he talked all about that. People who obeyed as much as they actually knew how were blessed for that. Mr. Armstrong even knew a man who could pray for God to heal others, and God would answer those prayers. But then, as soon as Mr. Armstrong wrote up a paper about the truth about Christ's resurrection and tried to present that truth to this man actually said that studying such truth was dangerous, and he didn't believe it. He knew it was true, but he refused to believe it. The next time Mr. Armstrong saw that man was devastated because he could no longer pray to God and receive answers. Before, this man obeyed as well as he knew how. As much knowledge as he had about God's law, he generally obeyed it pretty well. At least made an effort to obey it. But here is an example where he actually received more truth and refused to obey it. So God took away what abilities that he did have to get answers to his prayers. It just shows you have to have faith. You have to totally trust that God will fulfill his promises, but you also have to obey. Whatever you hear of God's truth, there is a requirement of applying it if you expect to get results in your life. Now, it's also possible to just listen to it and find this truth to be pleasant and not take any action. But if you want to get results, if you want your life to actually change, then you have to do something about it. It's totally your choice. No one is trying to pressure you to make a decision about that. It's completely up to you. But this is the truth, that there is faith and there is obedience. Those are the requirements for claiming that healing promise. As Mr. Armstrong articulates in the Plain Truth About Healing booklet, healing is a promise that has changed the lives of thousands of people within God's church. Formerly the Worldwide Church of God, today the Philadelphia Church of God. No longer are people in the general public healed like they were when Christ was on the earth. There was a diabolical plot to wipe out God's truth and wipe out his church just a couple years after the church began in AD 31. And this plot did cause God's church to have to go underground. And it lost a lot of God's truth. And by the time the church reemerged, they were not healing the masses anymore like Christ and his disciples were. And as Mr. Armstrong proves here, healing is a promise that has been restored to the church, but not yet to the entire world. Matthew 24 shows that the gospel message that Christ preached, the gospel message that pretty much disappeared from the time of Christ until the 20th century, was actually preached around the entire world. That is a sign that Christ's return is near. He will come back, and he will end all of mankind's problems very soon, including sickness and disease and injury. People will claim that healing promise by the millions and billions very soon. But God had to show Mr. Armstrong that today, that healing promise is only being accepted and applied for the most part in God's church by people who are obeying God, who are hearing God's truth and applying it. There are conditions. We have to believe that it is always God's will to heal, not just sometimes, but always. And then we have to obey. It's pretty helpful for me when considering this kind of a subject to think about the physical family parallel. I'm a father. Plenty of you listeners are parents. And there are times where you make a promise to your child or your children. You say, if you clean your room, I will give you ice cream or whatever it might be. So there's a condition there. A promise is made, but a condition has to be met before the promise is fulfilled. What kind of children do we raise when we just give them whatever they want without them having to obey or meet any kind of a standard whatsoever? Look around. The entire world is a sad example of poor child rearing, of children who do get whatever they want without having to do anything for it. And those children grow up physically, but never emotionally and mentally. They throw tantrums and they burden society. Well, likewise, God is our Father. He makes promises to us, but in a lot of cases, he also requires obedience before fulfilling those promises. There are conditional promises. God also makes unconditional promises where he will bless certain people no matter what. But for the most part, those promises, God's promises, do have conditions. And once we find those conditions out, to claim those promises, to have those promises revolutionize our lives, we have to obey. We have to meet those conditions of faith and obedience. We have to pray. We have to persistently ask for God to apply these promises to us. This is really inspiring, rare, unique truth about healing. How Christ had a dual ministry. He did deliver hope about his Father's coming kingdom. He did perform numerous healing miracles. Today, God's church does deliver the gospel message around the world. It did so even more under Mr. Armstrong, a much larger work than we have today. But all nations on the earth have received that witness of the good news of the coming kingdom. The only difference now is that the healing promise is specifically directed at God's church and will eventually, in the near future, be claimed by the rest of mankind. We can look at James 5 just to understand that. James 5. Verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So when we commit physical sins, when we break God's health laws, he will forgive us when we claim that healing promise, when we repent of those sins we've committed, when we are anointed by God's ministers, when we commit to obeying those laws better from that point on, and we truly, sincerely believe with all our hearts that God will heal, sure enough, God will answer that promise every single time. Like I said last week, though, that's not to say that some people in God's church don't die. We all die. And that's what makes this healing subject so much more inspiring than most people even comprehend right now. Because even those who have died will receive that healing promise soon. And we'll get into that more in the future on future episodes. Just to show you that the healing promise never fails. Everyone who does what they have to do, meeting those conditions of faith and obedience, will claim the healing promise, whether it's in this physical life or when they are resurrected. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.